The dance of the snowflakes is the moment when the Nutcracker ceases to be merely a choreographed fairy tale and becomes, in essence, a state of being. It's where the narrative releases itself from the ground, where the logic of toys dissolves, where the scene abandons any notion of concrete reality and definitively crosses into the territory of dreams. It is not simply a beautiful number within the ballet. It is a portal to a different dimension. One of those rare moments in which dance does not tell a story. It suspends the world. It emerges at the end of the first act, immediately after the battle with the Mouse King. The danger has been faced, tension has peaked, and the crossing has begun. Clara and the prince move through the enchanted forest, and suddenly everything falls silent, so that the snow may speak. The story could advance, but it does not. It stops, breathes, and transforms. Tchaikovsky composed this scene as a true study in atmosphere, not as a mere accompaniment to action. His inspiration here is less narrative than sensory, cold as a spiritual sensation, winter as an emotional state, silence as a sonic substance. In his letters, we already perceive his fascination with building musical landscapes that do not describe events, but generate interior spaces. In The Snowflakes, this reaches a rare level of refinement. The music does not illustrate the scene. It becomes the snowfall itself. The most daring and most poetic gesture lies in the use of the chorus. Choirs are highly uncommon in classical ballet, precisely because dance traditionally speaks on its own. By introducing wordless human voices, Tchaikovsky breaks that logic. The chorus neither narrates, nor explains, nor comments. It hovers. It works as a sonic mist, a collective breathing of space itself. The voices do not belong to characters. They belong to the air. They remove weight from bodies, dissolve the dancers into sound, and turn the snow into something that flirts with the invisible realms. The tremolo violins create a glittering carpet of cold, like microscopic particles colliding in space. The winds enter like gusts of air. When the chorus emerges, the forest is no longer a forest. It is a zone of passage. There's no solid ground, only suspension. It is one of Tchaikovsky's most modern pages in the deepest sense of the word. He constructs sonic space, not merely melody. Closing the first act with this scene is a dramaturgical choice of almost cruel intelligence. After a sequence of danger and conflict, the spectator might expect celebration, victory, or release. Instead, they receive white silence, contemplation. The first act does not end with an explosion, but with evaporation. The curtain falls while the audience is still inside the snowfall. The enchantment is born precisely from this refusal of a traditional climax. The magic does not emerge from excess. It arises from restraint. The dance of the snowflakes is the moment of luminous melancholy It is not a celebration. It is not a triumph. It is contemplation. It is that white silence that precedes something new, an interval in which everything is suspended, including us. That is why it closes the first act so memorably, not as a full stop, but as a suspension. When the curtain falls, the audience does not leave with a sense of completion. They leave displaced. Something inside has already shifted. The ground is no longer the same. The second act can only exist because everything was first covered by this layer of sonic silence and imaginary snow. At heart, the dance of the snowflakes is the most profoundly poetic moment of all in the Nutcracker. A wordless poem made of breath, music, and bodies dissolved into air. An instant in which ballet, for a few minutes, stops narrating and simply dreams. That from the journal Marcel Anna. For 8 years, Amy Casimir has been developing distinctive choreography for the snow scene in The Nutcracker. At first, her vision was modest, as the dancers were still young. But each year, as the dancers have matured, the choreography has become more complex. And now, in the 8th season of a Louisburg Victorian Nutcracker, Amy is able to say that they have arrived and her vision will unfold this Saturday, December 13th, in a complete performance of the Nutcracker in a co-production by Strictly Ballet and River Stage Community Theater at the Green Space Center in Louisburg. We had a chance to speak by phone with Amy Casimir, founder and artistic director of Strictly Ballet, and Trey Casimir, producer, about the development of these special annual performances.
It started with me taking the kids to watch the Victorian Christmas Parade in Louisburg and wondering why the Nutcracker wasn't represented more. And then I thought, gee, it would be fantastic if the parade ended at a performance of the Nutcracker. But at that point, I didn't have a ballet studio. So years later, when I opened my ballet studio, unfortunately, the Victorian parade wasn't around anymore, but I could do a Nutcracker. So I did.
And you started modestly because you didn't want to bite off more than you could chew. So how did it begin so we can be amazed at where you are now?
Well, my studio had been open for about 3 years, but I was only doing small groups and private lessons. And then I moved to the Green Space Building, and I knew I wanted to make a go of my studio and get bigger. And I knew the first thing I had to do was the Nutcracker. So I had a small amount of students, and they were under the age of 10 for the most part. And so we knew we had to just do the first act of the Nutcracker because they weren't able yet to do the second act. So we just did the first act for the first 2 years. And then the pandemic hit, and we were able to transition to the second act because small groups could rehearse at the same time. And so then we transitioned from just doing the second act into the whole thing.
And you've been able to draw on dancers that are numbering how many this year, did I read?
We have 73 dancers this year. And we have dancers from 5 different local studios, including Strictly Ballet. We have seasoned actors, and we have people who are new to the stage, new to ballet, and we're happy to have them as well.
And I'm always impressed, Amy, when I talk with you, and Trey weighs in on this and verifies it, that you are so very good at reading a dancer and or a potential dancer and determining what that dancer can do and maybe pushing just a little bit more the following year so the dancers grow. How do you size them up?
To be a good ballet dancer, part of your job is to be a good mimic. And so I kind of put myself into imagine what their body feels like doing the steps and imagine what they can do, what it feels like to them. And then I try and make it look good on everyone and habit develop into a performance. The growth is the biggest part of this year's performance, and the snow scene specifically, I started out, we did the first act of the first year, so we did the snow scene, but the dancers were 6, 7, and 8 years old, so it wasn't what I wanted from my choreography. And this year, I have the Snow Queens are two of my graduating dancers who have been with us since the second year of the show. And the snow scene is the closest to the choreography I want to put on, and they can dance it beautifully. It's a really lovely piece.
And when you talk about the snow scene, that suggests snow falling and trees and all that sort of stuff. How extensive is the scenery that you're able to call upon and develop?
I think there's room for growth in that. We have a lovely tree that grows in the fight scene, and we've been working on trying to get some good snow falling, but haven't managed that. And our fog machine does some fog, but we want more fog. So, you know, the dancers have grown, and they're doing a great job. And I think that, you know, their next layer of growth might be in scenery.
And just another question about this, because you're telling a story in the Nutcracker Ballet. How do you work with students or young dancers to understand not just the moves you want them to perform, but to get something of a character in what they're doing?
I think that's the hardest part for some of the dancers, is that they are focusing on just remembering the choreography, and then they have to remember it to the music, and that's difficult for some people. For some people, it becomes to them easier, and those people tend to be able to perform better on stage and have better acting skills. And then some people come to us with great acting skills but not much technique. So I have to kind of gear their rehearsals towards technique. And you know, hopefully it all comes together in the next. We have Tech Week next week, and I've been talking in our those students who take with me at Strictly Ballet about how they know it now, it's time to perform it, and they have to become the music and the character and don't think about the steps, just perform it, just be it.
As you've proceeded over the years to develop this Victorian Nutcracker that is dynamic and developing each year, what do you see, or how do you see the place of the Nutcracker in our day and age? Is it important? Do we need to be exposed to it more because children need to have the discipline and the beauty and exposure to music? What does it do for young people to take part, would you say, in a Nutcracker performance?
The first thought that comes to my head right now is teamwork. People don't see ballet as a team sport, but it completely and totally is. Every single person on stage is important, and even someone with a small role doing small steps is just as important as the Snow Queens, because they all make the show. And they learn that in rehearsals, that when one person is missing because they go to a birthday party or are sick or something, then everyone gets confused. Everyone's important, and I think that working together, well, and then they have to figure out that it's a performance, because they're still young, and so some of them don't understand that they're going to be performing in a week. They just do the steps. So the whole thing, bringing the teamwork around to the actual show and combining the teams with the crew and the tech and the dancers and then the audience and the excitement, it's good for them to see that they're part of something bigger than just themselves.
When you talked about the choreography you had originally in mind for the snow scene, and now you're getting to see dancers or to have dancers who can really execute what you have done, have you been working in your mind or on paper developing your own choreography for the Nutcracker for a while?
No. And the first year I sat down and said, okay, I have to do this. I had never done anything like this before, such a big show. I've done small pieces, but not something so big. And so it definitely was difficult at first. And I saw my mistakes, and I try to change them every year. I'm still tinkering with it. I still have plans for next year that's like, okay, this worked, but that didn't work. And hopefully I've changed most of my mistakes this year.
Among other things, we had a professional videographer last year, Steve DeCasa, filmed the show. And Amy was able to go back and look at the show and see from the audience's point of view where maybe some things would be better different.
Speaking about professionals, you have guest dancers. Introduce us to them.
Michaela Cameron and Bryson Woody from the Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis School of American Ballet Theater. Really excited to welcome them They're very young. Michaela's 15. I think Bryson is 16.
But they're very accomplished dancers.
Yes, they are. Yeah. They're all over the internet. It's really thrilling to be there at the first steps of their careers.
We would think that your dancers, Amy, would be able to relate to younger dancers and think, well, if they can do that, maybe that's something I can aspire to.
Absolutely. And that's the whole point in bringing them in.
And Trey, I know we talked before about your fog machine. What's going on from your point of view with this production?
Well, in many ways, it's by far the best and easiest it's been so far. We received some donations from Dr. David and Nada Gray, especially, that allowed us to buy a new Marley floor covering. And boy, that just went down, and we taped it and mopped it, and it was done. And in previous years, I would spend a month trying to get the Marley to lay flat. So that's a tremendous advance in terms of rehearsal and theater access. The costume stocks have really come together, and the talent on stage is higher and higher. Last year, we had a bunch of people saying, which one was the professional? Not that our guest artist wasn't beautiful, but we had some other local dancers who are dancing at a very high level. The same thing's going to happen this year. There are going to be the sections of the show that are showstoppers, that are not, you know, where just one star student is, but where there's a group of dancers doing something really spectacular. It's really exciting.
What do you two talk about? Are you able to bounce ideas or talk things over with each other? Because people may not know, Trey, but you have been a dancer, a professional dancer as well. Is that something that's been important, to have a sounding board in each other?
Oh, for sure. But I think our relationship has evolved, too. And at the beginning, I said only half joking that this Nutcracker was going to be marriage therapy, among other things. And in some ways, it was. And, you know, some things about our relationship got in the way or came to a head. But especially around the Nutcracker, we have pretty clear division of labor and responsibilities. So Amy's the choreographer. She's responsible for the artistic decisions, direction of the show. And I pretty much take care of every other thing.
But when I change something in the choreography, I usually call him in, get his opinion on it, because
yep.
I need somebody else's eyes on it, and I trust his eyes completely.
And I help with lifts, and I do other kinds of things, but I'm Amy's assistant in that regard.
And he helped me choreograph the grandparents' dance. I choreographed it. He helped me be my partner, so I knew what to do.
Are those actors coming in as part of the party scene? Is that where maybe you call on some regional actors to step up?
Yes, ma'am, yeah. Some of the River Stage regulars, including board member Stefan Eisenhower and his spouse, Emily Ann Bowen. But there are a bunch of people who have been on other stages and kind of came to us and then saw something different. And so we've got a few adults, like not 30-year-old adults, like much older adults, who have been back in ballet class and who are in different roles. And some of them are in the party scene and some of them are in other roles. And they're doing a great job.
It's always nice when people come from doing some other Nutcracker and they just moved here and they find me and they say, oh, your costumes are so nice, and oh, the choreography is so nice here. This is so great. So that's happened several times, which is wonderful to hear.
And you all are in this way bringing the community together, whether it be the actors joining you or the young dancers, people coming into the audience. It's a very special way to build community.
Sure, and there's nothing like live performance. That what happens on that stage is not going to happen again. The matinee and the evening show are going to be completely different, and that's amazing and magical, and it's going to be good in different ways. So that's always exciting. And I have to say also, the community part of our Nutcracker is not just that we're doing it for the community, but my vision was to have dancers from other studios be able to come here and more people. And that's unusual in the Nutcracker world. Usually it's like a studio recital or it's a, you know, great big company doing it. And so to have dancers from 5 different local studios come back year after year, I'm thrilled about that.
The other thing about our version of community, frequently when you say something is a community event, you know, oh, it's going to be crummy. It's like a potluck. You know, you don't think you're going to get fine food at a potluck. But we have always had expectations, and we've held people to standards. And the first year, if you look back at the photographs, there were like 3 kids who could point their feet and straighten their knees, and now we got 30. And it's not just because Amy has a ballet studio, it's because other kids come from other studios, they have something to pour themselves into. And I think that's really an important part of the performing arts. You know, it's yeah, you need to have chops, you need to have talent and technique and skill, but you have to have a you have to have something to pour yourself into.
And we have to balance out the sports out there. The arts have to balance out the sports. You know, for the kids who aren't in sports and who want to do something artistic and physical, this is it. Ballet is it.
But it's also not. This is where the weak kids go, or this is where the kids who can't get a date go. No, this is where different groups of kids go to really strive and work really hard and try to achieve something. You know, try to be excellent. And we've never shied away from that. And it makes it harder for everybody, for sure, without any question. We are not going to rest on our laurels. We haven't done it yet, and we're not going to start.
And what year is this, did you say?
8.
Tell us where we can see it and when.
A Lewisburg Victorian Nutcracker will be held at the Green Space Center at 815 Market Street in Lewisburg on Saturday, December 13th at 2 and 7 p.m.
And is there a place online where we can learn more?
RiverStageTheatre.org, and theater is spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E, RiverStageTheatre.org.
And the matinee is close to selling out.
Amy Casimir, who is founder and artistic director of Strictly Ballet, and Trey Casimir, who is producer, speaking with us about the 8th annual Lewisburg Victorian Nutcracker, and it is a co-production of Strictly Ballet and also River Stage. And it will take place this Saturday, December 13th, at the Green Space Center, 815 Market Street in Lewisburg. As we heard, tickets are going fast, and you can find tickets and more information online at River Stage Theater, R-E, RiverStageTheater.org, RiverStageTheater.org. A Lewisburg Victorian Nutcracker this Saturday, December 13th at the Green Space Center, 815 Market Street in Lewisburg. For more information for these shows that are at 2, the 2 o'clock matinee, and 7 in the evening, RiverStageTheater.org.